And this is not Sully. This is Charlie Harper. I'm the publisher of GeorgiaPaul.com. Sully's kind enough to give us an hour every Friday for Georgia Paul Radio. He's feeling a little under the weather today, so I decided it's probably best if we just treat him well, let him heal up, get better. Hope you're feeling better, Sully. But we are here from the Rhino Shield studio at beautiful 640 AM WGST for Rhino Radio today because... let's just be blunt. If you ever defend what is known as the establishment or anyone that's ever been elected in Republican politics right now, you are a rhino Republican in name only. And name calling has become much more important in Republican politics than policy or actually principle these days. If you hear something you don't agree with, you can just scream rhino, and that takes care of all of it. And so first segment, we just kind of went over where we were after SEC primary. Donald Trump got a lower percentage of delegates last night than he's gotten. So while the top line headline is he's still winning states, he probably only got about 40% of the delegates given out last night. Still have at least a three-way contest. John Kasich didn't make much of a dent. It was the South. He wasn't expected to. He does have his home state of Ohio coming up on March the 15th. And I was talking with Alfred during the break, and he would like to get into a little more of the delegate count and how that goes. So we'll just bring Alfred in from the producer studio for a moment, and we'll figure this out. Hi,
yes.
Alfred.
Hey.
Apparently, we didn't quite – and again, it's how delegates are assessed goes state by state.
Okay.
So it's a little complicated to try to say what every state means, but in a lot of states, including Georgia – when it's proportional delegation, to get any delegates at all, you have to have achieved 20% of the popular vote. So everyone that voted for John Kasich or Ben Carson in Georgia yesterday, your vote didn't go anywhere. I'm not going to say your vote didn't count. If you went to the polls and you voted your principal, even if it was to leave a ballot blank or to vote for, I know I've got at least one friend that voted for Rand Paul because that's what her principal said. At least I'm assuming that's what she did. I haven't confirmed that, but I know some people did based on the vote count. You know, your vote counts, but it doesn't get you delegates. So in terms of it actually mattering, the people in Georgia that their vote went towards a delegate breakdown went between Donald Trump, who was in first, Marco Rubio, who was in second, and Ted Cruz, that was in third. In Georgia, it gets even more complicated because there are two different pools of delegates that total up to the total delegates that Georgia has allotted, and each county's or each state's party gets to decide how they're going to do their delegates. And in Georgia, we actually give delegates out by congressional district. So we're having a series of Georgia GOP conventions. We started a couple of weeks ago with the mass precinct meetings, meaning you had meetings in the precinct to elect your representatives that would go to the county conventions, at least in the large counties in Georgia. The smaller counties get to do those two steps, the precinct meetings and the county conventions on the same day. We'll go later this month to the county convention, so I'll go to the Cobb County convention, and we'll have separate elections to elect delegates from Cobb County that will go to our congressional districts. In Cobb, we'll send people to the 13th district if they live there. We'll send them to the 11th district if they live there, or we'll send them to the 6th district if they live in the 6th. Those are the congressional districts that divide Cobb County up. And then those people will actually decide who are the delegates that go from Georgia from each congressional district. And they're bound on the first ballot only at the Republican National Convention that will be in Cleveland this year to vote for who they are assigned at their convention. And in the districts, the first place, whoever wins a congressional district, if it's less than 50%, again, if it's kind of a winner-take-all thing in Georgia. If you cross 50%, you get all the delegates you qualify for, either the state level or the congressional district. At the congressional district, the first place finisher under 50% would get, I believe, two delegates, and the second place would get one delegate. So you have to finish first or second in a congressional district, as I understand it, doing this off the top of my head, so I hope I'm right. But at the end of the day, it's not going to matter much. But anyway, you've got one pool of delegates that will come from those district conventions. At the same county convention that every county that's organized in Georgia with the Republican Party, they'll elect delegates to go to the state convention. And the people at the state convention will elect a delegate pool that go to vote. Again, they're going to divide up the total number of state pool. There's three officers of the state party that are bound to vote for whoever won the state. Everyone else gets assigned proportionally to their winning percentage of Trump, Rubio, and Cruz because they all crossed the 20% threshold, but nobody got 50%. I know that's clear as mud, but that's how Georgia does it. every state before March the 15th is allowed to decide how they proportionally allow their delegates. South Carolina has proportional delegation, but because Donald Trump was relatively strong across the whole state, he got every delegate that came out of the state of South Carolina because he won every congressional district, plus he was the top vote getter at the state level. So every state gets to decide how they proportion their delegates before March the 15th. But after March the 15th, and this is the part, you know, if I lost you in the math, let me try to bring you back now. On March the 15th, it doesn't matter if you got 30%, 40%, 80%. As long as you got more votes than anyone else in your state, then you're going to get 100% of the delegates from the states starting on March the 15th and going forward. And March the 15th has important swing states as well as large states for delegate count of both Ohio and of Florida. So the race really changes on March the 15th. The strategy changes on March the 15th. And I think if you're in the I want anyone but Trump movement, as I am, I think we can survive this and not have to elect Donald Trump by going into March 15th with more than one candidate not named Donald Trump. But we can't come out of March 15th with more than one candidate not named Donald Trump. I just, unless the folks get together and instead of dropping out, decide they want to have a contested convention, and you end up with regional candidates where Marco Rubio goes to three or four states and tries to beat Trump there, and John Kasich goes to three or four states and tries to beat there, and Ted Cruz, and they kind of agree to disagree and just go figure out how many delegates they can get just so that someone is beating up on Trump in different states. That's the only other scenario I see, short of doing a head-to-head matchup. But, you know, if we had the Republican establishment that people always complain about us having, and that a Donald Trump voter believes that there are people that go into a smoke-filled room. No one smokes anymore, by the way. I've been in a lot of these rooms, and they're not smoke-filled. A lot of people vaping, but not smoke-filled. But anyway, there is no establishment that makes these decisions. There are a lot of spheres of influence that go into anything, and that's part of what being the establishment is. It's learning how to have influence and exert it. And in a different segment coming up, we're going to talk about exactly who is the establishment, and frankly, you know, we're going to start breaking apart of how did we get here, where Donald Trump, who's not a conservative, has no evidence of ever being a Republican, has the upper hand and the advantage to be the GOP's nominee if our people don't figure this out. But what the candidates have to figure out, because there's really not an establishment to make this happen. Some of their larger donors and other people that influence them probably have to start to figure out that it's better for them to nudge them towards some sort of compromise and agreement between Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and John Kasich. And if they can get Ben Carson in, fine. Honestly, I don't know where Ben Carson voters go. They're just as likely to go to Trump as they are to go anyone else or possibly go home. That's a very unique track of Carson voters. They're good people. They're voting their conscience. But they're also clearly willing to vote for someone with no political experience and might just want to see the system tank, as most Donald Trump voters do.
Let me ask you something, Charlie. Who do you think will be the next Republican to drop out? Because at some point, they're going to have to start dropping out, right?
Yeah, and that's really it. It's if they don't drop out by the 15th, it becomes mutually assured destruction or after the votes on the 15th. The thing that's unique about the 15th and why it's slowing down the dropout process, if Ted Cruz had had a bad night last night, and he didn't have a great night, but he did win his home state of Texas and a couple of other states, and it had looked like the week leading up to it, Marco Rubio was getting most of the press, getting the momentum, and Rubio had momentum. He took, a week ago, he was down 17 points in Virginia, and he missed winning it by about a percentage. So Rubio had a good night, too. Cruz had a good night. Trump, actually, despite the headlines, if you look at anyone that underperformed expectations, it was Donald Trump. But Donald Trump's clearly not thinking about dropping out. John Kasich is staying in because he wants to win Ohio. And there is a case to be made that if Kasich drops out, it makes it easier for Trump to win Ohio, especially if Rubio and Cruz are still fighting it out through the 15th. And so you've kind of got this weird mix where what last night did is probably prolong it where none of the major three that are not named Donald Trump have a real reason or incentive to drop out. But they all better have a plan of what they're going to be doing on March the 16th. That's the way I look at it. It's if Rubio needs to win Florida, he's down a little bit. But again, if you look at how he closed the gap in Virginia, he's pretty much going to be focused almost like a laser on Florida for the next couple of weeks. The negatives that were brought out just in the last few days about Donald Trump, we can get into those running tight on this segment, so I won't lay them out. But the negatives that seemed to be hitting Trump where it hurt started landing, and he's got 2 weeks to bring Trump, you know, just numbers down in popularity in Florida, Rubio to reassert why he's there. Jeb Bush still hasn't endorsed. That could actually be a value in Florida. So I think we're in this as the race is right now. I don't see anyone dropping out until March the 15th. But every person that values any life left in the Republican Party as it currently is, knowing it needs to change, and we're going to talk about that, really better be thinking about getting on someone's team on March the 16th. Because in my opinion, it needs to be one person or we get Republican nominee Donald Trump. We'll talk a lot more about this 6:40 a.m. WGST.